welcome our first-time guest here. Second time, welcome. If you've come for the very first time, we would stand, but we don't have enough time to do a standing ovation. But we're so honored that you're here. If you'll allow me, at the end of the service, we will kind of set up for it, but I'd love to shake your hand and meet you again if you've come for the very first time. And thank God for it. Welcome our Facebook Live audience. They're on right now live. And welcome. Hey, Facebook Live, if you ever want to come to San Antonio, if you're part of this city and come part of the community, if you don't go to a church, come to this church. You'll meet the best people. We have the greatest people here at Living Faith Church, and we're glad you're tuning in today. So we've asked the question for part three of I Do series, is a great marriage possible? And we've asked that, and you know what? Some of us answered back. Sometimes, well, it can be an okay marriage. It can be a good marriage maybe, but not great. How is it ever going to be great? And so definitely, somebody say great marriages are possible. Very definitely they are, but they're probably not probable. Because if we do it the world's way, we're going to end up with the world's results. And the church is doing it the world's way. That's why we're 50 percenters. Every two marriage, one gets divorced. You've heard the stats. They followed this into the church. So why are so many marriages failing? Why are so many marriages that are married miserable? I believe that God has the answer, right? And God's word is true today. So I have a couple of rules that I want you to listen to right now. Not rules like making sure that you do these like a mean guy, but would you listen with your heart? Would you listen right now for yourself? Some of us want to elbow the neighbor, our spouse. Are you listening to them? We don't want to do that today because that's a religious attitude. That's an attitude of an elder brother, so to speak, and the prodigal son. We want to listen for us. We want to improve us. Give me a good amen. And so we're going to listen for our spouse. I wish they would have been here. I wish they would have showed up. No, it's about you today. Amen. You're here today, right, everybody? They're watching on Facebook, and that's okay. They'll get it from Facebook. Is that okay? And so the other rule I'd like to have, and just some God, let's not look back. From this day forward, right? God has wiped away our past. Everyone has a past in this room. And we were wrong, but we don't need to. If we're God's child, we're a child of the King. We need to go forward now, as God makes all things new, right? And so I desire that. And so let's make those commitments as we do that. A couple of things that we've discussed for the last 3 weeks, we made a commitment to pursue God, right, everybody? We made a commitment to fight fair. Fighting is right if you're doing it the right way. There are rules of engagement, but you got to do them right. Fighting can be constructive if we fight the right way. If you haven't heard that message, go back to our website, go back to Facebook, and you can listen to that. It's a good message, not because I preached it, because it's God's word. Is that cool? Yeah? Today we're going to talk about having fun. It's a PG-type sermon. So if you want your 12 and under, our child services are great. Our child ministry, children's ministry is awesome. We have baby care over here, and we have children's ministry in our building one, and we're blessed to have that. So make sure you get your kiddos to that if you don't want them to hear a PG-rated sermon. Is that cool? Not R, but PG. Is that cool? Next week, I'll talk about staying pure. And then finally, somebody shout, never give up. Hey, let's say these out loud so you can wake up because you're sleepy right now. Let's say it together. Pursue God. Fight fair. Have fun. Stay pure. Come on and say, never give up. Yeah, first service, older man came to me, says, I've been married over 50 years, and y'all can do the figuring out who was that, because they all have these minds like, you guys are like private investigators, who was that? But and he told me, he said, my dad wasn't real spiritual, but on my wedding day 50 years ago, he told me, he said, son, what you're about to do is a covenant before God. And you better take it very seriously from this day forward. And he says, I never forgot what my dad's in heaven now, but I never forgot how he charged me, how when I came to the altar with my bride now 50 years ago, that was a covenant that I made before God, and it shook me. I never forgot my father telling me that. And God the Father takes marriage very seriously, doesn't he? And in that covenant, he wants you to have fun, and he wants you to enjoy your marriage. And we thank God for that today. Relationships, we're meant to have fun. The Bible is detailed about lovemaking. And I'm so glad it's blueprinted there for us in certain books of the Bible. Did you know that? So don't do drugs, do the Bible, right? You want to get it, do the Bible. Say, so without fun and romance in your marriage, it's reduced down to this business relationship. Just two people coming together. You're going to handle this part. I'm going to do this. I'll handle the books. You handle the paying the bills. You run the kids this way. I'll make a lunch. And it's just reduced down to just this thing of two people existing together, leading separate lives, and you're miserable. God wanted something better. He invented marriage, that it would thrive, that it would be heaven on earth today. Right, everybody? A marriage should never stop having fun, no matter what year you're in. Enjoy the blessings of marriage. Let's have fun. Right, everybody? When you fall in love, it's not like this. Well, I just love this guy. All he does is sit on the couch, and he plays video games all day, and we're bored to death, and I just love him so much. You don't fall in love like that, right? Oh, man, I just love her because all she does is nag, nag, nag all day, and she talks, and she's a control freak, and I just love her. She's changed my life. You don't fall in love that way, right? You love by having fun together. You love by romance. You love by coming together, and it's the best day of your life when you meet her. Changes your life. The Bible says in Revelation that John had this vision, and he talked about this other church, how they had lost their first love. Not in your handout, not on the big screen, but he said, you've fallen in such a great way. Remember your first love, right? And he says, now go back and do the things that you did before when you fell in love. So sometimes we got to rekindle those fires. Nobody wants to look at Nava Boy up here, amen, but I'll look at myself. Men have this way. We pursue our wives before we get married, the women. We pursue women because we're hunters, right? Put a trophy of a deer mount up there, and then they put a trophy of you up there, right? Because you hunt. But after the hunt, it's over. You don't hunt anymore. God wants you to still hunt, right, everybody? Yeah, and so no more date nights. You don't flirt with each other anymore. A date is equivalent to you going to Home Depot with her. Come on, brother. Don't be doing that, amen? The other day, we're on our cell phones, and, I put one, I put mine down so I can catch Irma. And so I said, babe, what are you doing? She says, I'm on Pinterest. I said, hey, I'm your Pinterest. Come on. Yeah, I had to refocus her. Give me a good amen. Fun is not a luxury in marriage. If you don't have time for fun in your marriage, and if you don't make time for fun in your marriage and romance, you may not have a marriage. Right, everybody? And so Solomon writes this Song of Songs. And Solomon, according to Kings, wrote over 1,000 songs. Man, what an awesome, better than these guys, right? 1,000 songs, a guy could write music, right, everybody? And so his favorite songs, though, are the Song of Solomon that he has in the book. These are my favorite songs that he has. And so there's two keys when we're about to read this that I need you to understand. When he's talking about the lover boy, that's Solomon. He's saying, I'm the lover boy here. When you say the lover, he's the lover. Solomon is. When he says the beloved, that's a Shulamite woman. That's his wife. So you'll get those keys. And sometimes, I'll do the hard part for you. In mid-verse, because the Bible was written as a letter, it puts in his thoughts and her thoughts, and they come in mid-verse. Like, he'll speak and then she'll speak. So we'll try to do that for you so you'll know who's speaking and how we're speaking. So let's look at the big screen in your handout. On the big screen, you can look at it, Song of Songs 1 and 2 on the screen. Let's look at that. It says, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. God bless the reading of his word. Isn't that good right off the very beginning? Yes, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Your love is better than wine. And you'll notice wine brings joy in the Bible. So there's nothing like, there were winos in that day, amen. They drank a lot of wine, amen. Didn't have bottled water. So in other words, your love is better than wine. It says the way that you love is the best. You treat people the right way. This can extend even to our relationships at our office, where we work at, in our neighborhood. They know you by your personality, that you treat people the right way. Nobody loves like that person. Nobody loves the neighbors like that couple, that family. They know how to love. The way you love is the best, in other words. That's what she's saying. Your love's better than wine today. And it says, the smell of your perfume is pleasant. And again, the art of loving well. You leave just this, you don't leave a stench. You leave, hey, were they just in here? Because it's great. Amen. Or here they come. That's a good perfume. Amen. And we love them to be around, right? I'm the only one excited. And that's okay. I'll take this thing. I'll do it myself if I have to today. Give me a good amen. Your name is like a pleasant, expensive perfume. That's why the young women love you. And she's speaking to her man, and she's saying, you're all mine. As much as you love everybody and you know how to love people, you do it well, baby, but you're all mine. Be mine. Amen. What a Valentine, right, everybody? It continues, and it says this, take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring into the chambers, and we will rejoice and delight in you. In other words, their love was a witness to the world. That couple, the love of God is within them. We will praise your love more than wine. How right they are to adore you. Now notice this. She becomes real transparent. And in every relationship, especially the single adult people here, you're going to let your guard down. Maybe you let your guard down once and you got hurt in a relationship. Maybe you let your guard down before. But there's that person that you let your guard down. And the longer that we're married, the more transparent that we become. And there's no secrets. And she begins to become real transparent. And she's saying, you know what? I have this thing. And it's this, you know, and she says, dark am I, yet lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem. And she's speaking to the third party, the daughters of Jerusalem there. And she says, dark like the tents of Kandar, dark like the tents of Solomon, total blackout there. Do not look at what she's saying. Underline, do not stare at me because I'm dark, because I'm darkened by the sun. And the story goes on to say that mother was angry at her, and they sent her out into the fields. See, back then in the Old Testament, the lighter skin that you had, well, it proves that they're not a field hand. They're not working and slaving away. Being cool nowadays, hey, you get a tan, spray on tan and everything else, you look good, right? But then in the Old Testament, it proves that you're kind of a maid. You're secondary. You're not like the rest of the girls. She was like Cinderella. They put her out really to work, and she was real insecure about her skin color. And she said, dark am I? And he said, no. Look what the man begins to say to her. He said, my mother and sons were angry with me, and they made me take care of the vineyards, but my vineyard was neglected. How many know God still looks on the inside? Yeah. You see, as God's people, we ought to look on the inside of people also. We ought to not look at so much the outside appearance, but the inside. Amen. And young lady that's here, maybe you worry about so much your physical appearance. I want to give you some keys today that if you concentrate on your spiritual life, even as a single adult in this room, God will make you beautiful on the outside. And for people that are married, we don't stop working on ourselves because nobody's on autopilot. We continue to work on our lives today. Right, everybody? Notice what Solomon says back to her in 1:7, a Song of Solomon. Tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flocks and where the rest of the sheep at midday. And then she comes in, says, why should I be like the veiled women? In other words, the veiled women were the people that were, the ladies that were at the edge of the pasture after the sheep herders had brought in, the shepherds had brought in all their sheep. And they would be on the corner. They'd be at the corner and they'd go, $5, cheap, here. Come here, boy. I'll make you happy. She said, you're not like that. Why? I'm not going to be like those veiled women, she was saying. The wife was saying, I'm going to be a little bit different beside the flocks. I'm not going to be a prostitute. I'm not going to be a hoochie mama like they're a hoochie mama. I'm going to be different. And everyone in this room today, especially our young ladies today, the difference will be your difference in relationship with God today. And that will separate you. And I talked to our young people in our first service. Many of them are serving in our children's ministry. And you should have seen them on the front row. They were happy. Everybody was staring at them. Amen. And so God bless them. This was attracted to Solomon. This floated Solomon's boat that she wasn't like the rest of the women. And that's what makes you attractive, man and woman in this room today. And I'm going to give you three principles of attraction. Here we go. Number one, fill in the blank, spiritual attraction. Have fun spiritually. You're a spiritual being first. You're made up of three beings, your spirit life, your soul, that's your emotions, and then your physical life, your body that you can see. And so if everything falls into place in your life, it's because you're concentrating more on your spiritual life than you are on your physical life. And we've learned that at Living Faith Church. You become emotional because you've concentrated too much on your emotion. Pour into your spirit because that is eternal today. Right, everybody? How do you become spiritually attractive? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you some extra notes here. And there are three here. Here we go. Number one is this. You become spiritually attractive by loving and worshiping God. That just makes you more attractive spiritually, right, everybody? You love God, it gives you an atmosphere. You love relationships with God today. It's a source of life. You say, well, my spouse or my boyfriend or my husband or my wife, they determine my happiness. And if they determine your happiness, you're going to be disappointed a whole bunch. Do you understand that today? I know it's hard right now. People are moving around, but they're going to sit down and they're going to listen, right, everybody? So we can. It's very important right now. Amen. If you have to move, move. But amen, try to move out. Amen, give me a good amen. And so someone asked me today, does Irma make you happy? And I said, no. And they said, what? I said, we're happy together, yeah. But, you know, I was happy before I met her. And so she was happy also before I met her. See, she found her one before she found me. I found my one before I found her. And it's just, see, we put way too much on human relationship. And they're going to let you down. A pastor will let you down. Amen. Amen. You say it loud. Amen. A church member will let you down. Amen. Amen. An elder will let... No, they won't. They'll let you down. People will let you down. But God won't let you down. And so you bank on that as a husband, a wife, and you won't be let down. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah. Women, the ladies of faith in every church, you can call ladies... You ever notice, guys, they're the first ones to the altar. They're the first ones to sing loud. They worship God. There's a spiritual thing about them, and I thank God for it, the beauty of that, of our ladies here. But guys, you know, we kind of sit back and we wait. Maybe we should go to the altar. Somebody's going to be looking at me. You think all these thoughts like I do, you know, but you become a worshiper. Doesn't matter anymore who looks at you, right? Just love God. So you come to the altar. But I've noticed, guys, that kind of... they worship God. They have their hands in their pocket, you know, and they don't want to worship God like our, you know, the ladies do. And not that we're taking, but we should worship God, right? So you guys can do, according to Tim Hawkins, at least the holding the baby, man. Get it up here like this. You're worshiping God. Hold the baby. Hold the baby. Hold the baby. Maybe you move up a little bit. The fish was this big. The fish was this big. The fish was this big. You get a little bit. And then maybe you graduate to touchdown. Amen. You get all the way up. Yeah. Single lady in this room, if he's excited about the Cowboy game, the Spurs game, and he gets all passionate and he comes to this church and all he does is have his hands in his pocket during worship, you need to get yourself another brother. You got to worship God, man. At least do the. How big is a fish? This big. God, you're that big. Amen. You're awesome to me. Right, everybody? Amen. Spiritual attraction counts. Amen. I want you to pursue my God-given purpose. Amen. You do that together as a team. You were made to make a difference together as a husband and wife. Recently, this couple, it's their passion to teach. And I noticed they launched this ministry and it was awesome. And you know what happened? I noticed them real lovey-dovey at the altar. Not they weren't making out or anything. That would have been gross. No. But I noticed their worship. They came and they were worshiping God in it. It just hit me, and I said, there it is. See, God is meeting them together. They're doing something together, and now they're worshiping God together. I never will forget my wife and I, about 2 years ago, when we walked the parking lot, we were about to open this building, the brand new building, and we were holding hands, and we were just praying and walking the parking lot and asking God to bless us and help us and do everything he had. And my wife and I had this spiritual moment. I realized how great God was, because here I was with my girl holding her hand, and Irma... just thank God. She said, look what God has given us, honey. Look what God has given us. Look what God has done in our lives. And I was humbled there, but I'll never forget that moment. There's nothing like worshiping God with your God-given purpose. If see, every one of us in this room, you're meant to do something. That's why the Growing in Faith class is so important, that you would find your God-given gift and you serve God together there. Do you understand that today? Go serve children's ministry. Go serve in the baby room. Worship one, serve one. Do you know why we say that around here? Because we have a 9 a.m. service. And we sit at the very beginning as a group of leaders coming together in a room on how the church would look. At 9 a.m., there's not going to be any childcare, because we want 10:30 service to have childcare. So why don't you come to the 9 a.m. service and then go serve our second service? You guys, well, I don't do kids. Well, you can do the parking lot and security. Give me a good amen. You can do teaching. There's all sorts of things that you can do. Wednesday night is available. Everyone should find a place to serve together and become part of the dream team. Right, everybody? Amen. Finally, spiritual attraction, how to grow and develop it, have godly standards. When you're dating, you tell that somebody, that young rascal, or you tell her, nowadays you have to tell her, this is how far we're going to go. We ain't going to go any farther. And you need to tell him, if you like it, put a ring on it. No, there it is. That woman, the beloved said, I'm not going to be like the rest of those veiled women. I'm not going to be like them in the field. I'm going to be different. And you set a standard too. You're not like the rest of them. Give me a good amen. Song of Songs 1:9 says this on the screen in your handout. I liken you. In other words, my darling, you're my best friend. I had a friend, but I've never had a friend like you. Amen. And Irma Nava, I've never had a friend like you. Amen. You're my best friend, babe. Yeah, I mean that. You can say, tell your own wife. She's your best friend. Yeah. And I would never tell her this, but Solomon said this. To a mare harnessed to one of the chariots of Pharaoh, he called her a horse. What was up with Solomon? He had me at hello, but look what he did. He called her a horse. And the visual of this and the truth of this is Pharaoh's chariots and Pharaoh's horses, they were royalty. They were beautiful animals. So their equation was no one gets... You're that royalty. You're that one. Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings. He's speaking into her life and ministering to her. Your neck is like a string of jewels. Your earrings are gold, studded silver. And while the king was at his table, the perfume spread its fragrance. In other words, you talked about her publicly. You said, there's no one like my wife. There's no one like my man, you would say. About 3 years ago, the men of faith took this road trip. Preseason is a lot cheaper. You have these standing room tickets in Jerry World. So we went to go see our Dallas Cowboys play the Houston Texans. And they annihilated the Texans that day. Glory be to God. Amen. And so anyway, when we get there, because we left in the morning and took this road trip, got $6 tickets. Amen. Standing room only. Standing tickets only. They are that cheap if you stand all. We got there. There's all these tents, food trucks. Jerry World is filled. It's like a circus. And, you know, guys, we're all together. Men, we're walking together. So, you know, when a group of men are together, you know how they are? We're like a pack of dogs. We're looking around, just dogs looking around. And then they have these different tents, you know, food tents, this tent. You can get pictures. You can get sign up for long, you know, cell phone service or whatever. But they have this one tent, and there's this long line of guys out of, you know, they're getting in line. And that's the tent that you get to take a picture with the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. Yeah. And so we're walking by and, you know, again, we're dogs looking by and looking. And then all of a sudden they go, hey, Pastor, why don't you go in there and get a picture taken with the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders? And I went, no way. I said, because that thing's going to end up on social media, Pastor's Appreciation Day. Hey, there's Pastor with Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders and smiling and stuff. And so, all I said was, no way, I'm not going to do that. But one of the guys, Satan kept prodding this one guy. All of us, Satan was sent, and Judas was in the picture. And he said, hey, hit this one guy. Hey, why don't you go in there, get a picture of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleader? And that one guy gave the line of lines, man. He said, my Dallas Cowboy cheerleader's at home waiting for me. That guy was a hero, man. Everybody shut up after that. It was so funny. My son, who was in his first year of Bible college when we went, and, you know, they get all holy and delivered and all that stuff. And so he had his buddies with him, two of his dorm buddies, roommates in the same floor, and they came, and we got them tickets. They were able to enjoy that day with us. And, one of the guys was in there, Bible college Bob. Amen. He's in there with those Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. I say, hey, I noticed that buddy of yours is in there, man. Son, he's in Bible. He said, oh, Dad, you're judging him. Look, I said, well, look at him. He's with the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders hugging him and stuff. He said, you're judging him, Dad. And I go, yeah, I am judging him. Look at him. I'm judging him because he said that he ain't spiritual right now. He wasn't thinking spiritual thoughts as he had a, you know, anyway, you're too religious. And anyway, Andrew and I didn't see eye to eye on that one, amen. And I just think, amen, we avoided that tent that day. Have you ever noticed how praise and worship is much like lovemaking? It is. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. I'm going to tell you about it. You know, when you praise and worship, we start off usually with a fast song at Living Faith. We're exuberant in our worship. Thank you, Jesus. You've been good to me, Lord. I bless your name. Say things like that out of your mouth. You're praising God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Amen. His courts with praise. And you're praising him. You're magnifying him. And love making is just that way. You start off in the morning. You begin to say stuff to each other like, I love you, honey. I believe in you. I know you have a job today to do. And you send a text. I'm remembering you right now. See, it begins all day long. Love making just doesn't start in the bedroom at 7 o'clock at night, at 10 o'clock at night, at midnight. It begins during the day. And you stoke that fire. Do you understand that today? Yeah? And praise is like that. And then in worship, when you finally enter into worship with God, and you begin to thank God at the altar, and there's intimacy there, right? God's touching your heart. You're one with him. God, I've never loved anyone like I love you. And then in worship, in the marriage bed, not that you're worshiping each other, but you become one. And there's that intimacy that God reserves for the marriage bed. Do you understand that today? That's why it's such a precious gift that God's given the gift of sex and intimacy to us all in this room that are married. Now, men, I want you to work on this with me. Realize that you should have an approach. When your approach should be tender, not like this. Hey, baby, do you want some of this? Hey. And if you have an approach, remember, maybe your approach hasn't changed since the Reagan administration. Get a new move, man. Get some romance. Bring a gift. Bring some flowers home. Do something different, but have an approach. Do a different approach. Have it tendered. Remember romance. Men, we're that way. We need to have an approach today. It's just not the same old, same old. Women, my advice to you is make an approach. Just make an approach. Just make an approach, women. Amen. It's wintertime right now, and I know flannel's probably in, but less is more. Give me a good amen. Make any approach, a back rub, romance, put on some Marvin Gaye, let's get it on, let's get it on. I love Al Green, how about you? A back rub is good, amen, something, just make an approach today, right everybody? God's way is holy, amen, and it's outlined in God's word, and he's given us that gift as husbands and wives in this room today, amen. This is way more than physical, because we have, amen. The second thought is this. Somebody say emotional. Yeah, it's way more than physical. It's spiritual. It's emotional. The second thought is emotion today. Have fun emotionally. There's something in the soul realm that you should do. This develops more and more as you're married. You get to know each other. Single adults, test this out as you begin to date and you begin to do this. Ladies, I know you're more emotional. And it's that way. God wired you the way. And it's good. We love you for it, right? The men of God would say amen. Amen. One man, even ladies say amen. I asked the men to say amen. Men, you're emotional too, right? Ladies say amen. 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 But we're different. So there's three ways to grow emotionally. Extra notes here for the real spiritual people. They take extra notes here. That love Jesus, they take extra notes here. The first way to grow emotionally is this. Value them. You speak blessing over them. She speaks blessing back over you. We receive differently, but set the culture of life-giving atmosphere in your home towards each other. And notice, two servants that have a marriage, there's nothing like that. It's heaven come to earth today because you outserve each other in valuing each other and serving each other. You love. It's the miracle of Christianity when you serve each other. Did you know that? Because only God can give you the power to serve. You get full of God, you can serve and you do that within your marriages. It's awesome. Dr. Les Parrott is this marriage guru. He teaches college courses on relationship. He's a professor. And he says this, after all these keys that I've given people about saving their marriage, making their marriage thrive, it won't work, not unless you have God's power working through you. It was God's idea to make the marriage covenant long ago. God is into marriage. God is the author of marriage. And that's why the world messes up and they show stupid movies on the screen about marriage that's out there right now at the movie theater. And it's not, that's the world, that's culture. But God says, no, marriage looks like this. This is what marriage is about. So don't watch anything stupid that doesn't give marriages the right picture of marriage. Right, everybody? Spouses, they exist to serve you. both spouses. Husbands, you exist to serve them. Irma and I are complete opposites. Opposites attracted one day, and then we attacked one day. But that's why we serve each other. Where she's weak, I'm strong. Where I'm weak, she's very strong. And that completes us. Hey, you complete me. There it is, right, everybody? I don't like having a long conversation after a fool's day at work. Most men are like me. But Irma does. I've used all my 3,000 words that I'm supposed to use by the end of the day. And she comes in and she hasn't even used half of her words. And what she does is talk to a lot of people with her job and what she does. It's part of her job description. And so when she comes home, she's loaded. And so she knows already my weakness, that I'm opposite of her, that I want. And you know what she does for me? She ministers to me. She says, I understand. You don't want to talk right now. And she gives me that because that's a way of her serving me. But am I always that way? I wouldn't have a marriage if I was always that way. There's someday the power of God. Some days the power of God does go through me. And I go, hey, baby, how was your day? This was my day. And this is what happened. And this is what's going on. You have to do the same. You get over yourself. You die to yourself because that's what a servant does. Aren't you glad you're here this morning, right? If you don't like what you're seeing, watch what you're saying. If you say they become it, I believe in you. This is what I believe about you. You're a woman of God. You're a man of God, you're telling your husband. And so you're saying that over their life, and it's speaking life over them, right, everybody? And so speak life over them. Watch your words. Today, the church sang words of affirmation. They sang words about God. We're hearing words all day long. You're hearing the word right now. Do you understand that today? And so Irma's name is beautiful. That's what I call her. That's what I call her, beautiful. And I call my daughter beautiful too. Amen. She's beautiful too. Amen. And so Rebecca behaves differently sometimes and acts differently than being beautiful. How many of you don't have daughters in this room? And if I say that to her, that the way she's acting, and I speak that into her life, how many know she becomes more of that than beautiful? So if I don't like what I'm seeing, amen, I have to watch what I'm saying, and I speak that into their lives, and they become that. The same goes with me, amen. I do that over your life also. Do y'all hear that today? I always hoodwink you guys. I said, this is a great church. Y'all are awesome. There's no other church like you. Do you know, maybe every now and then when I haven't eaten breakfast and I'm real mean, I go, y'all are a bunch of sinners. Y'all are going to go to hell, 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 hell. It echoes, right? There's a place for y'all, you know. But I just say, man, this is the greatest church ever, amen. Y'all are awesome. It speak life and you become it, amen. That's why Saturday morning is going to be so awesome, because you're going to come together and serve, 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 amen. I like to take Irma out because I'm into this thing where I like my accomplishments noted. And that's the way men are wired. So, hey, baby, come look. Look at the way I cut the lawn this time. I didn't do it vertical. I did it horizontal. And look at my cut lines, man, how they are, babe. And she, it looks great, Nava. You did good today. Amen. On her end, it's celebrating the conversation and listening. Guys, I'm going to give you four words that are incredible. They're going to light your world. They're going to light her up also. You're going to thank me for saying these words. The four words are, all the men say, and then what happened? So when you're in a conversation and you're thinking, God, I can't listen to her, say that, and then what happened? Why don't you practice with me, amen, because you're not having any fun, amen. On three, all the men of God say, and then what happened? One, two, three. No fun at all, you guys, amen. It's a breath of fresh air when they hear that. It stokes her, it's amen. And finally, emotional building, amen, blessing, think good thoughts about them. She talked about that her lover was this sachet of myrrh resting between her breasts. And that's how close he was, because she was thinking good thoughts about him all day long. And you likewise, as a man of God, you're thinking good thoughts about your spouse today. Life-giving relationships, listen to this, they make a choice every day to love, to get back up and serve, to get back up and speak life. They make a choice. Choices lead, feelings follow. Somebody say that with me. Choices lead, feelings follow. Well, we fell out of love. We fell out of love. We don't love each other. No, choices lead, You value them. You speak life to them. You think good thoughts of them. You make these choices, and then the feeling will follow. Amen. One guy said amen. We're going, me and you, bro. Amen. Thank God for our elder. Amen. Song of Songs. Amen. 15. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful your eyes your eyes are doves. Notice how he notices their body parts now. It's moving from the emotional to they're going to be intimate soon. And he's noticing not below the waist or below the neck. But where does he notice first? Rabbis would teach that the eyes were the eyes to the soul, that they could look into the soul by seeing the eyes. And noticing how he's valuing her the right way today. And she comes back, and now she's saying mid-sentence here, how handsome you are. She's telling back, my lover, she's calling back. How many would like to hear that from your wife, right, everybody? Oh, how charming. And then our bed is a verdant, and the beams of our house are like cedars and rafters of fir. Basically, she was saying the physical is so good now, and God created this for us because we're married. And anything that God creates, the devil perverts. God loves marriage. The devil hates marriage. And that's why the devil will come and he'll steal this from God and he'll say, marriage is like this. No, marriage is meant to be like this. God has a standard today. It doesn't change. It leads me to the final point. Somebody say physical attraction. Following God's way is not unclear, beloved, in this church today. Following God's way is not, well, how do we do marriage? It's outlined in God's word today. God's standard for marriage is one woman, one man. Somebody say one woman, one man. Yeah, that's the way. So if we surrender our worldly passions and our lust and stop doing it God's way and receive God's way, we'll have God results. And that will be lifelong intimacy. We'll grow old together and thank God for it today. Solomon spoke a blessing over his wife and it changed her life. She spoke a blessing over his life and it changed his life. In Song of Songs 2, notice what she's saying. She's saying this, I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the what? And now interrupts her mid-sentence. He said, I'm a rose of Sharon. She's saying that because of what you said to me. He says, no. You're like a lily among thorns, my darling. Yeah, you're among maidens today. He interrupts her and he's saying, no, you're more than that. You're the only one in my eyes right now. Right, everybody? You see how good lovemaking begins with the verbal and what God would do. He continues in Song of Songs 2:5. Are you with me? Two of you are with me. Are you with me, everybody? Amen. The more you say amen, the quicker I preach. Amen. So we've gotten to that point here. Would you read this together on three with me? Everybody get ready on three. Let's read this together on three. One, two, three, go. Strengthen me with raisins. Refresh me. His left arm is under my head. His right arm. Daughters of Jerusalem, the strengthening of raisins was an aphrodisiac in the Old Testament. So it was staying power. It wasn't Viagra. It wasn't eating oysters. It was raisins. And so, you guys, I gave you a little bit of, maybe you can go get some raisins or something like that when you get home or get that trail mix and chew on it. Amen. And don't tell her, hey, I have something for you. No. Refresh me with apples. Amen. 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 I love apples. How about y'all? Apples just got real biblical for all of us in this room, right? God created sex. God created passion. And he wants it within the confines of his marriage bed and within your marriage bed. Men in this room today, most men desire physical intimacy more than most women. Most men desire physical intimacy more than most women. Would you agree with me on that? You cowards in this room. Women are saying amen louder than men. And it's true. So ladies in this room, wives in this room, it's the equivalent when you stop intimacy, you turn off the faucet. It's the equivalent of somebody silencing you and you're not able to talk. When your man doesn't have a way of being physically intimate with you, it's his only legitimate way through the Bible of satisfying his needs as a married man. And if you don't give him that outlet, then you're not serving him properly, according to what the Word of God would say. Do you understand that today? Now, we're not going to make our ladies sex slaves because they're not that. But the man of God today in this room also needs to be meeting the emotional needs of his wife. And I was real big on that. I hope you get that in context today. And don't say, well, pastor said do this and you better do this for me. No, you better be meeting her emotional needs also. You better be listening to her. You better know how to celebrate her by listening. And then what happened? And you better do it by the power of God and not just do it out of frustration. Do you understand that today, right, everybody? And so we know that her emotional needs are met and your needs are met when her needs are met today. There's this beautiful scripture about relationship that I found that's usually done in giving. And it's given in this aspect about, well, we're going to receive the offering. And finally, it says this in Matthew 6:21 on the big screen, the Message Bible. The place where your treasure is the place that you will find what you most want and end up being. Well, you make sure that you go... You're at the football game on time because that's where your treasure is. You're going to make sure that you watch the Dallas Cowboy game because the Spurs or whatever, you're about them, and you're going to make sure that you're there and you're going to end up there. The game's about to start. Nobody interrupt it. Do you all understand that? That's your treasure. You're going to be there. And many of us, we receive the offering that way, and we'll pick up, well, where's your treasure? If it's here in the house of God, then you're going to. But I'm going to go this route with it. If your treasure is your spouse, then you're going to end up putting the most money into that. You're going to put the most time into that because you're going to end up being there. Do you understand that today? And so many of us have, but we fell out of love. We just don't have the ignition anymore, the passion anymore, because it's gone and we don't have that excitement anymore. And could I kind of tell you, well, your treasure's gone from that place. You put it somewhere else. That's why there are affairs that happen. Adultery happens this way. Adultery just doesn't end up in the hotel room, a rendezvous. Adultery happens. Someone else gave them the attention that you were supposed to give them as a married person. They affirmed that wife, and that wasn't her husband. They listened to her for an hour because you didn't listen to her for an hour, and they won her ear. And they laughed at a stupid, corny joke, and you didn't laugh at him. They didn't realize his accomplishments and didn't value him. And they're listening to him, and they're making his life interesting. She's interested in me because she's really interested in me. And affairs happen that way. That's the beginning. That's when the affair happens. Do you understand that today? So when we look at each other and we're saying, you know what? The grass is greener on the other side. It's really not. You just need to water your own grass. And if you water your own grass, it will flourish, and you'll have a treasure there. Amen? Amen. And so thank God for it today. Amen. You say, well, you don't know my spouse. He's a jerk. She's this. She's a nag. And I want you to come back as we conclude in this last statement on the screen, and it's in your handout today because I wanted you to remember it. I want you to look at how God looked at you when you were far away from him. When I was far away from God in 1976 as a sixth grader, as a seventh grader, I've told you my testimony. Even at that age, I was immoral. I was unfaithful, I was wounded, I was lost. I wouldn't even give him who would have given a nickel for Mario Nava? But when I received Christ, even at that point, when I was far away from God, you know how God looked at me? He cherished me. He says, I want him. I want him so bad, I'm going to send my son to die for him on a cross. I love him even while he's a sinner. While he's all messed up, while he's immoral, while he's dark, while he's lost, while he's so far away, while he's blinded, while he's a loser, I'm still going to love him. And marriage is not any different. If you don't like what you have, you still value it. You still speak life into it. You still love. And love keeps showing up, right, everybody? Because one day, see, we come to love not by finding the perfect person. I found the one. No, you don't find the perfect person ever. But by seeing the imperfection person perfectly. This isn't tooting a horn by any means, but I've been saved since about 1977. You know what God's done in my life? We get these big family gatherings, and we have all these enemies sometimes. Or that Cunhao did that, and that Theo did that, and they look at him, and they ostracize him, and you know everybody talks about him because they did that, that family member. And you know what? I've gotten to those family members. You know, I look at people now, and they're imperfect. But in God's eyes, they're perfect. And love covers a multitude of sins. And I go, man, you know, you change eventually. Because you say God can do a work even in their lives, right, everybody? It's growing in God, right, everybody? The work of God in our lives can continue. Let's bow and pray. Amen together. Father, I pray for every person right now. Thank you, Lord, in this sanctuary. The single adults in this room and the married folks in this room, the spouses and husband. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you'll hold your wife's hand, husband, spouses, put your arm around your wife just like that. Yes, do that. Amen. Father, as we hold on to each other, I thank you that you are one, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that we look to the one that saved us and redeemed us, Lord. And without him, Lord, we're lost today. And so I thank you, Father, that you would develop each marriage, and we call each marriage at Living Faith great marriages here, that they have the ability not to just be okay, not to be good marriages, but to be great marriages. Thank you, Father, for the touch of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We develop by valuing each other, by speaking life into each other, Lord. Let there be a greater anointing in our marriages, Lord, to serve each other. As you continue to pray, Father, I thank you for every single adult in this room that they're pursuing their one, which is you. And I thank you as they pursue their one, Father, that they would look over and see someone else pursuing the one, Lord, which is you. And they would come together, Lord. Bring people their lifelong partners, Lord, in this room. For the ladies of faith in this room, bring them a husband. For the men of faith in this room that are single, bring them the lady of faith, God. Bring them their man of God in this room. Thank you, Jesus, that you're doing that. Your hearts right now are being drawn towards God as you continue to pray. You know your relationship with God isn't right. I'm speaking to a few of you in this room today. You know that it's not right. But you're ready for a relationship with God. I always want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior, to say yes to Jesus. If you're far away from God today, God brings you near. He does it while we're immoral, while we're lost, while we're backwards, while we're liars, while we're cheaters, while we're deceivers. God still loves us. It's true. We come to love not by finding the perfect person. That's what Jesus said about us, but by seeing the imperfect person perfectly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That's how God sees you right now. God offers you his life to welcome you into his family. If that's you in this room, not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask that your hands lifted slightly. I'll lead you in a prayer. You'll pray right where you're at. I'll lead you in a prayer right where you're at. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to note your hand. And I'll say, yeah, we're saying yes to Jesus. If that's anyone in this room, would you say yes to Christ today in this room and say, that's me. I need Christ in my life. I'm far away. I'll wait for you. God bless you, son. Someone else making sure. God bless you, family. Amen. About six of you raised your hand. Together we pray this prayer out loud, loud enough that we can hear it in our own ear. The sinners that are saved by grace, including the chief sinner preaching right now, we're going to pray it out loud too. Let's welcome these people into the family of God. We pray this prayer loud enough that we can hear it. Heavenly Father, come on everybody. Heavenly Father, receive my prayer. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I need you, Lord. Walk with me now. Thank you, Lord. My life is forever changed. And you are my God. In Jesus' name. Let's celebrate those six that received Christ. Come on, bless them. Encourage them. Come on, everybody. Bless the name of the Lord for new life at Living Faith Church. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make sure that you guys know that receive Christ. You need to make sure there's a connection card that's usually found in front of you. You'll need to stretch maybe. Make sure that you fill that out for me. Let me know about your decision. I'll pray for you this week. If you have a special prayer request, I want to make sure that I know that. I've been praying all week long for two of them that I received last week, and those are important to me. If you have a need, God will meet your need. Growing in faith happens at 9 a.m. for those that receive Christ. You need to be part of that because at 9 a.m. they'll teach you the basics of Christianity, discipleship, how to read your Bible, how to grow in God, what your spiritual gift might be. You need that class. Make sure that you go at 9 a.m. Laura Collier, one of our best teachers, teaches that class, and you need to be part of that. Is that good? Yes, amen. We're going to receive our tithe and offering, but I have two slides to show you before we finish up. And they're